muting yourself is the new market inefficiency. Anyway, hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Texas Rangers, the number one itinerant guide to Texas's second best baseball franchise. I am Max, and I'm joined tonight by Mike.
Good evening.
And not Hayden, who is too busy enjoying wine, women, and song on the left coast. So,
yes, he got to see a good one Friday night. He was at the Rangers-Padres game, and he was rewarded quite well.
Yeah, R.I.P. in pieces. Hayden, pour one out for our poor beleaguered brother struggling to survive in the hellscape that is San Diego. I've only heard terrible things about one of America's most beautiful cities. And he was subjugated to Texas tanking its draft stock. You know, just awful. Watching us slip back in our reverse standings. Just terrible.
Yes. Team Tank is not doing a good job.
Pour one out for good old Hayden. They managed to tank today pretty well, though.
Did
you catch the end of today's game?
Oddly enough, I didn't. I had other things going on, and I thought they had it in the bag, and I went back and looked at the score later and just groaned. So I guess we give a grand slam to let them win the game?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Nice.
Yeah, to Francisco Mejia, the big return in their trade with the Indians that sent
the catcher,
Adam
right?
Simber and Brad Hand. Yeah, the catcher. He's the kid who rattled off that like 40 plus game hitting streak in I think Double A 2 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, top prospect for a lot of folks. Had a rough start to this year, and there's some questions about his glove. But generally speaking, prospect guys like him quite a lot, and that's certainly one way to make a good impression in September for your new big league club is to just crush some big old dongos. But hey, you know, it's important that Texas lose some games. You weren't the only guy who thought that was in the bag. I got an update or a notification from The Athletic that had Texas winning 3-2, which is very much not what happened today. So,
it's not quite Eisenhower wins, but it's up there.
Yeah, it's on the list.
Yes.
Our boy, our beloved podcast boy, Jeff Springs, did not have a very good ninth inning. He was entrusted with the one-run lead and was not able to close it out. I think Leclerc pitched both of the first games.
Correct.
So he was presumably unavailable tonight. There's really no reason to push Texas's best reliever going forward in the ninth inning of the game against one of the few teams we desperately want to beat us. San Diego is, I think, three or four teams ahead of Texas in the draft standings for next season, so pretty okay with not rolling out Jose Leclerc there in a very dumb situation, but what are you going to do?
Are you sure he's the best reliever the Rangers have going?
I mean, if you talk about Martin Perez, I'm going to fight you.
No, I wanted to bring up for review one Connor Sedzik, because he has yet to give up a run as a Ranger. It's been kind of fun to watch him pitch.
It has. I'm still going to... I think I'm willing to make the argument, you know, fight me if you will. I think I'm willing to say that Jose Leclerc is a little bit better than...
Oh, of course he is. Of course he
but
is.
Yeah,
but
no.
It's fun. I mean, he's pitched... he's been in 7 games, 5 1/3 innings, 3 hits, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts. He's got a 1.5 whip, which, you know, is not outstanding. You know, he's making the most of the opportunity. Not just going lights out, but to have get 7 games and not give up a run yet for a young guy like that is pretty awesome. I'm really happy for him. I hope that he can continue in that manner.
Mm-hmm. And he was the opener in Friday's game. Is that right?
That is correct. And then he came on in relief in Saturday's game. They mentioned that on the broadcast, how interesting that was to start one game and be a reliever in the next. It's
yeah, this is something that the Rays have done a couple of times where they're using these guys and they're like, you're going to get your one inning, you know, you can go back-to-back days for an inning.
Yeah.
And the Rays have been doing that because they've typically been using good relievers as their openers, and Texas seems to have been experimenting with some of their fringier guys this season between Sadzek and Jeff Springs, who've both been promising, but maybe not the guys you'd expect to see a team roll out there as their kind of lockdown opener. And then Alex Claudio, I think, had the open.
I think he opened today.
Yeah, today, or Sunday, when you are listening to this, dear listener, in the future.
Yes.
Which is probably Tuesday, considering that our beloved Hayden, who is, like we said, suffering through the left coast hellscape that is
torturous.
Horrible San Diego. Yeah, just really, really just, it's awful out there. And he's been giving us updates on how miserable his everything has been, just having to fight to get to the front of the line at In-N-Out or whatever it is he's doing. Just everything animal style. I don't know. It sounds terrible.
Don't waste your time at In-N-Out. It's not better than Whataburger.
No. And see, I was, you know, we were coming home from the bar tonight. You know, my wife and I went out. We won some bar trivia, and I've been planning on Whataburger all day, and she blew right past on the way to the house because she cares more about my dietary intake than I do.
I'm good for her.
I'm a little sad. I'm tempted to, you know, roll her out there at like 10:30 at night and be like, come on now. Let's get that Whataburger.
Yeah, because eating it at the very end of the night is the best thing for you.
I like to eat it right before I go to sleep. There's nothing like waking up with like quarter digested Whataburgers just sitting in you 8 hours old. That's where I like to be. This is a very good 2018 Rangers conversation about like half-digested Whataburger that you wake up drunk as hell on. Like, that's basically the Rangers season. We kind of woke up hungover, and we couldn't figure out what we were doing. There were, like, some half-eaten fries lying around, which weren't sure if those fries were from the night before or from, like, the week before. And that's how Texas got to May. But, hey, you know.
So, So along that same vein, something that's fringely Rangers-related, but not really, I made the mistake of trying to meet a friend at Texas Live this afternoon, realizing that the Cowboys had a home game. And so we made alternate plans, but I drove to the parking lot that normally offers free parking to people going to Texas Live. And yeah, if you wanted to go today, it's going to cost you $70 to park there. So
70?
Yeah. So we decided, yeah, we can just go right down the street and actually get better food for free parking. So, man. Yeah. Lots of Cowboys fans out there.
Yeah, Cowboys. Cowboys. But that football, not the good Cowboys, right? Isn't Oklahoma State's good this year, aren't they? I think. I thought I saw that. I don't know.
I don't follow Big 12 football that much, sir.
Big 12 what? Do they play football in the Big 12?
I'm an SEC guy, and you know that.
Yeah. SEC, I'm an SEC football guy, but as an Alabama fan, I haven't woken up yet, and I will pay attention in November, because right now it's just kind of, it's hard to watch. They're very good, but it's also not entertaining.
No. It wasn't for A&M this weekend either. They played one of those bi-directional schools from Louisiana, so it was quite ugly. There was nothing to see there.
Yeah, Alabama did the same thing. Put an FCS school, Ole Miss. I don't know what that is. They're a Division II program, I think. any school you beat 62-7, scoring 62 consecutive points against is probably garbage. Yeah, the over under in that game was 70, and I was vociferously arguing for the over early on. And then Bama rolled out to like a 28-7 lead, I think, in the second quarter or whatever, and they just stopped scoring.
So, wow!
Whoops.
Did I see it correctly?
On that.
Did I see it correctly that North Texas beat Arkansas?
They did. They had one of the
that
best
is awesome.
Fake punt returns.
Yes,
I've seen.
I saw it. I saw it where he acted like he was calling for a fair catch, but not really. Yeah.
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 Yeah, just didn't. He just stood there.
Right.
Which is very ballsy. Like, that's a great way to get decapitated.
Right.
Against SEC special teams and defenses. But, hey, North Texas putting the mean in mean green this weekend. Mad props. TCU also almost pulled off a great trick kickoff return. That a guy lie down in the end zone.
Oh, wow.
And then, oh, nuts, they're TCU's star player this season, and I'm just blanking on his name, fields the kick, runs about 10 yards out, and just lobs it across the field, and the guy runs it untouched at the left sideline.
Nice.
Unfortunately, it went forward about 2 yards. They called it back, and TCU ended up collapsing to Ohio State, which is depressing because I think Ohio State deserved to be punished considerably more than losing three Saturdays to their coach. But hey, that's a secondary kind of conversation right there. Let's talk about baseball.
Yes.
There was some good baseball today. Texas didn't participate in it, but there was some good baseball. Notably that Chris Sale and Jacob deGrom went head-to-head, Red Sox versus Mets, which I believe I read was the first time in a century that two pitchers with sub-2 ERAs and over 100 innings went head-to-head against each other, which is pretty cool. DeGrom gave up, I think, 3 runs in 7 innings with 12 strikeouts, which should push his wins above replacement to being around equal to his actual wins, of which I believe he has 8. So that's fun. DeGrom is, I believe, 8-9 with a 1.7... Well, coming into the game, he had a 1.7 ERA with 240 strikeouts. That poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish there was a way the Rangers could get the Mets to cough him up for a bag of magic beans. That would be so awesome to have that guy.
Yeah, DeGrom for a song would be...
the best thing ever.
It'd be okay. I mean, I'd be all right with it. I mean, how much money is he making, though? Like, let's look at the numbers here, guys. DeGrom is incredible. I do miss the hair. I love that big, stupid hair he had. Where it, like, puffed out behind his head. It was really silly. But yeah, even giving up 3 runs today, his ERA is 1.78.
Nice.
With now 251 strikeouts. The Mets don't deserve him, nor do they deserve David Wright, who will be playing a Swan Song farewell tour at the end of the month. They're going to take him off the DL and let him play out their last homestand, which I think is also the last weekend of the season. That's pretty cool. You know, Wright's a class act. There's been a lot of stuff on Twitter from fans sharing their experiences with Wright. He kind of ran into the Prince Fielder situation where his physical stuff was just so bad that it wasn't that his performance suffered, it's that he's like not capable of getting out of bed in the morning. And that's really depressing for a guy who is as good and as, you know, big G good, you know, as good a person as Wright was. So that sort of sucks, but it's nice that the fans will get a chance to have a farewell tour with him for a weekend.
Unlike the Rangers fans, because I heard a soundbite of an interview with Beltre and him talking about whether this is going to be his last homestand with the Rangers, if he's going to retire or if he's going to come back. And he basically said he's not going to tip his hand. He said, if I play next year, I'm not going to say it's my last season. He said, I don't want to be given a rocking chair in every every other city out there. Which I can understand that. Dirk's the same way, but, you know, it's I don't know. It would be nice to know when I'm at that last home game of the season, if it is indeed his last home game, because I'm hoping he gets a standing ovation at least. I mean, just in anticipation of it possibly being his last season.
Yeah, I won't be present for his last home game on Sunday, but in enormous personal news, I will at least be present for his first last game on Friday, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
I will stand and just yell incoherently. That's fine. That seems like a reasonable thing to do. Yeah, and I would love to have, you know, the opportunity where you know you're sending a guy off and you can pack out the stadium and everyone can show up and wave their signs and say their goodbyes. I think that's a pretty cool fan thing. But I also definitely dig Beltre's side of it, where he doesn't want to make it about himself and he doesn't want to get this sort of kid glove nonsense where he's going around and everyone's pretending that they've always loved him. Although I think he is a pretty universally liked player.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's still certainly a thing, and I can absolutely appreciate wanting to avoid it. So, you know, I guess we'll have to see how that one goes. And with that we haven't really had a chance to talk about Beltre's power resurgence, because we've been kind of on and off the air over the last week and a half. But guy's still got some pop in that bat, apparently.
Yeah, well, he had something like 5 home runs in 7 games, or something, mm-hmm. something ridiculous like that. It's pretty awesome. And to me, that signaled him. I don't know. You could look at it one of two ways. Him actually being fully healthy with the hamstring, where he actually can reach back and knock one out of the park, or it could be him feeling that the end is near and he's giving it his all to try and give a little something back to the fans. I don't know. It's hard to figure that one out. But after he was just listless with the power for the vast majority of the season, it was nice to see that 1 week where he just was 24 years old again.
It was a lot of fun. And his September has been really good. So in the 13 games he has played in the month of September, Beltre's batting .306, .370, .714.
Oof.
With those 5 home runs. So that's pretty cool. We'd definitely like to see that happen, continue to happen. He hasn't had any home runs since those 5 dingers and 7 game streak, but he does have 4 doubles since then. I think he had 1 in that stretch as well. So that's pretty cool. Definitely playing some good ball. The defense is still there.
Oh, always has been.
Yeah, that's never really been a question. I mean, those like first 3 games when he came off the DL, everyone's like, "Whoa, is there something wrong with his arm? Like, what's going on over here?" And then since then, it's been
phenomenal. Just
normal Gold Glove Hall of Fame inner circle nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because this is indeed his last season. Then everyone's anticipating that Profar is going to take over at third just because he's a man without a position. And we can talk about Profar and how he has performed. He hit his 17th home run of the season Friday night. Saw his batting average on TV today. It seemed like it was around 270, 275. He's here, and he's never going back. And while I'm excited as heck to see him as a full-time player at a position next year, possibly, he occasionally dazzles with the glove and with the arm, but it's a darn good thing he's got an 8-foot tall Condor Guzman retrieving those balls, because he does make it interesting, to say the least, at first base on those throws.
He can. I've been pretty comfortable with his play at third base and with the bat, seeing as how he did hit his 17th over the weekend and he hit his 18th on Sunday.
Oh, I did not see that. Nice.
He had himself a nice slick dinger this afternoon. Got his season batting line up to .258, .342, .465 with a 112 WRC plus. And he's been a 3+ win player by Fangraphs. They like his defensive versatility at the very least. He's been a solid base runner. He's been pretty good with the bat. So that's been fun. I definitely also see a lot of value in, if you can keep a guy like Jerickson Profar as sort of a floating utility player playing different positions, giving guys like Adrian Beltre days off, that's a really important part of a roster. It would be nice to have sort of a space and let him just play every day, but
yeah,
bringing a door looking like he's rebuilt himself, and with Elvis ensconced at short and Jerickson not really being a great fit at first base,
I'd be curious to see how the infielders, how their late season has been this year compared to prior years when they didn't have the luxury of giving them, plenty of days off because you had such a good super utility infielder to fill in.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of regular days off here and there with Jerickson Profar especially, but also Isaiah Kiner-Falefa here and there filling in, playing some stuff. I think there's something to be said for what kind of value that brings to a team where you've got not just a, like you're saying, not just a utility player, but a super utility player. Since the beginning of August, Jerickson's batting .272, .351, .500. I don't believe that counts today's game, so those numbers are going to go bump up because he went 2-for-4 with the home run. So that's going to be up a little bit. And that's really good. That's with a sub-300 BABIP. It's actually at .275, which is not very good. Over that time, he has 21 strikeouts and 15 walks in 154 plate appearances. I mean, he doesn't strike out very much.
No.
He doesn't walk a ton, but he walks at a perfectly acceptable kind of league average rate.
Hey, you can't walk off the island. Remember that.
The island of Curaçao. Island that statement is famously about.
Yeah, it's usually more like the Dominican, Puerto Rico maybe, but mm-hmm. It still applies.
Yeah, and while I don't know why I was just thinking this, but when it comes to guys not walking off the island of Curaçao, I just hope Jerickson is having some good conversations with Shirton Apostle this offseason. who did manage to finish off his season with Spokane quite well.
Yeah.
On base 470 with Spokane, so that's pretty cool. But he love could them Curacaoans. There's some good guys out there.
Indeed.
We would love to see some more Apostle up in Dallas come the time. So, yeah, seeing what the team does with Adrian, does with Jurickson, does with some of its other pieces this offseason will be very interesting. We talked a ton about Shinsei Chu this season and what Texas wants to do with him. I think it's long past time to find Willie Calhoun an everyday spot on this team. He did it at home run on Sunday.
Yes, his first of the season, is that correct?
I think it's the second.
Okay.
It's his first in a minute. And he's one of those guys where we know everything that there is to possibly know about Willie Calhoun as a minor leaguer, even with all the reports that have been coming the last couple of weeks about his showing up out of shape to camp and his bad attitude, blah, I get it. You know all that stuff now as well. And if it impacts the performance, that's one thing. But even if it does or doesn't, it doesn't really super matter. This is a guy who needs to be playing at the majors. He doesn't do a team any good just sitting in AAA. He doesn't do any good sitting on the bench. He's not a bench guy. This either needs to be a part of your offense every day for the next 5-6 years, or a guy who you say, this dude's not good. Either way, he needs to be playing every day until you figure that out. You're not going to figure it out with him riding the bench or playing in AAA.
Agree 100%. And it's to the point with Chu that even if they have to eat the majority of his contract, they have to eat 35 of the $40 million remaining for the last 2 years, I would be in favor of doing it. And not that I'm unhappy with Chu. It's just he's not going to be here when we're good again, and it's time to start seeing how these other guys can perform. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about right now. Go ahead.
On a good team, Shinsei Chu is a valuable extra piece. His WRC plus is still 124 on the season. He's a good hitter. He's a miserable defender, which is unfortunate. But if there's a team that had an open DH slot, he would work really, really well there. He's a guy who could probably learn to play first base if you just need a bat and you've got somewhere to stick him. If you just don't care about defense at all, he can still fake it in the outfield a little bit.
Yeah, he's
to
quote the famous Bill Lee, the spaceman, he's so slow in the field, he's got pigeon shit on his shoulders.
I mean, it sucks because Chu has posted, the walk rate, the best walk rate of his career since that one transcendent season with the Reds right before Texas gave him all his money. He's had a good year. It's his best year slugging, I think, with Texas. It's up there.
Yeah.
He may have had one better season just in raw power, but... I mean, what are you going to do? I was really hoping to see him get moved in July, and when that didn't happen, I kind of figured he would be a waiver piece, and that didn't happen either, and you got to wonder if there are just absolutely no takers for him. But Texas doesn't have the roster slots to keep Shinsei Chu and Willie Calhoun, given they've also got potentially Adrian Beltre, but Nomar Mazara, who keeps backsliding in the field, and Jurickson Profar and Ronald Guzman and Joey Gallo and yada yada yada. So really hope to see somebody open up a slot for Chu and he gets moved, even if the return is nothing.
Exactly.
Just a lotto guy, a rookie ball.
A half-eaten sandwich. If we can get that back, it's a win.
I mean, I'm going to settle for a three-quarters-eaten sandwich. I want more than... If there's some bites in one half of the sandwich, that's fine. I want, one pristine half of a sandwich.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's been that good. He's good enough for, an untouched half a grilled cheese.
We'll cut it in half, and then we'll cut around the edges, make it nice and presentable. Yeah.
That sounds incredible. For cutting around the edges to make it nice and presentable, I don't know a better way of describing Yohander Mendez as a pitcher.
Yes. Just
take out that first inning and make him a main guy or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, he had a nice little outing Friday night. Let me pull up his stats here.
I've got his September split.
Well, I was wanting to look at the actual box score just to rattle that off for you. Yeah, mm-hmm. So Sadzek was the opener in that game. Mendez came on in the second. He pitched five innings, giving up three hits, three walks, five strikeouts. So that's a 1.2 whip. It's got his ERA down to 3.86. And this is a guy who's he's got just enough to tease you there. And I don't know if he's going to stick, but I'm proud for him. I'm happy for him because, you know, he went in reverse big time this year when he had that embarrassing bar outing. What was it, in Kansas City, I believe?
Yeah.
And they pushed him all the way back down to Hickory or Kinston. Mm-hmm. I think it was Hickory. And he had to work his way back. And, you know, fortunately for him, he was able to do that. And he's doing the best with what he's got now. And he should get, you know, two or three more starts before the end of the season. And hopefully he should be competing for a rotation spot next spring.
Yeah, and his September has been good. So he had the two spot starts, one in May, one in June. The May start was, or the May appearance there, it wasn't a start. He was a reliever in that game. And then he pitched a couple of pretty miserable innings against Colorado in June. But his three September starts, 15 innings, 7 hits, 7 walks, 10 strikeouts, which isn't great, but only 2 runs. So he's got a 1.2 ERA, getting up an opponent's batting line of 143, 250, 224, which is excellent.
That's a big leaguer.
Yeah, it's a whip of like 0.9 and change. Yeah. You know, 14 base runners in 15 innings. That's really good. And, you know, maybe Johanner is not he's not a stud. He's not an ace. He's not a top rotation guy. But if he's somewhere in between his really phenomenal September and his generally very mediocre everything else, that's still an okay pitcher.
It'll still get you a spot in the rotation next year because right now it's Mike Minor and 4 TBDs.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
God, man, I said I didn't want to talk about it, so this is us not talking about Ariel Jurado.
Ugh.
Dead air.
Little Bartolo. All right,
that's enough about Ariel Jurado.
Yes.
So let's talk about anything else. Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo's good. You talk about Joey Gallo?
I've heard of the guy.
Yeah, he's all right from what I gather. He hits, home runs, but I've heard he's just Rob Beer and or bad Adam Dunn. Do you have any thoughts?
I think that his ceiling is insanely high, and so I think to put those comps on him after his second complete season, it's just a little premature. He's still a young guy. He's below that 27, 28 year old where you're actually going to, you know, peak as most athletes do during that time frame. So he still has time to improve. He's still one of my very favorite players to watch just because when he does connect, it is so majestic. And I was happy to see him get his 37th this weekend. He is chasing 40, which I think he'll get there. He only needs 3. He's got the batting average up to 210, slugging of 500, ops of 816, which, you know, again, is going to put him second highest on the team behind Chu. He is good. He's good now. He's better than bad Adam Dunn or Rob Deere. So I'm hoping to see him hitting home runs here for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, he's certainly a better player in the field and on the bases than Deere could ever have dreamed of being, and better than Dunn was after, like, I don't know, his first couple seasons. Because Adam Dunn was an outfielder for, like, 3 years and was actually an okay base runner for a couple of years. And, you know, like, really early on, early aughts of the Reds, which no one remembers because the early aughts Reds were garbage. So nobody cares, but
Joey is a very much a plus, base runner. Mm-hmm. He's got sneaky speed for a guy who's, what, 6'5"?
Yeah, he's listed at like 6'5", 230, but he's probably about 30 pounds heavier than that.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, don't go testing his arm because he can get an outfield assist every now and then. He's not a bad defender, And heck,
I think he's a good defender.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a
yeah.
guy who the Rangers, and this is Texas, but they've been willing to let him play center field. And when he's played right field, I think he's looked quite good. He's got an enormous arm. Teams liked him. Some teams liked him more as a pitcher coming out of high school than they did as a hitter.
Right.
He's a guy who was getting up into the upper 90s as a right-handed pitcher. He's got a big old arm on him. And he is quick. Like, you know, you said sneaky fast. And honestly, I think he's just, like, regular fast. He's sneaky because he's enormous and you don't
get yeah, that's what I meant.
All.
No, no, he's fast. You can take
he's
out
fast.
The qualifier. He is definitely fast. It's fun to watch because he's so daggum big.
He's a large boy.
Yes.
I would pull up his sprint speed, but I have confirmed now that my pre-pod nightmare has come true. Baseball Savant is not working currently.
So I've got
my out-of-date leaderboards here. As of whenever this last updated, which is, I think, relatively recently, but I don't know, Gallo is still top 10 in batted balls of 105 miles an hour or more.
Of course.
You know, like, Giancarlo Stanton is still number one. Aaron Judge is in that conversation, but he missed quite a lot of time. Nelson Cruz is irritatingly second. But as of this update, again, whenever this was, Gallo was ninth, right behind Matt Olson, which does make sense, and right ahead of Matt Chapman, which also makes sense, but directly ahead of David Peralta, which doesn't.
No.
So, what's up? David Peralta apparently hits the ball very hard in 2018. Not
one
a thing.
Of these things does not belong.
Yeah. Gallo is... on this list again, just a couple of hits behind JD Martinez, who is threatening for the Triple Crown real, real hard. That's kind
nice.
Of fun. I mean, I know the Triple Crown is kind of stupid and old-fashioned and nobody cares, but
oh,
it's still cool.
You didn't need to stab me in my heart. That's
it's
not
fun.
Even funny.
The Triple Crown's good. Like, I understand it really shouldn't be the only thing we care about when it comes to the MVP, and it's not what it used to be, and that it was the only thing you cared about for hitters, but it's still very cool to lead in batting average, home runs, and RBI, especially in the modern game. I think it's actually probably a lot harder now to go
oh,
for
yeah.
the crown.
What, Carmen Kilbrew was the last guy who did it?
Is that no, right? Didn't Miggy do it just a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I think
you're
Miggy
right.
did it.
But, okay, that's once in the last 50 years?
I feel like
I don't think there's anyone before. No, no, I really don't think so. Look it up. Prove me wrong.
Ooh, I'm okay. Let's we're gonna do this right now. This is Grid Radio.
Do it.
Crown winners. Baseball.
There should be a bet on the line here. Someone's gonna have to buy someone else a beer at Friday night's game over this.
Okay. Okay. Triple Crown baseball. So, well, it wasn't Carmen Killebrew.
Oh, was it Yastrzemski? Damn it, I always get those two guys confused.
Yeah, those are different dudes, but yes, it was Carl Yastrzemski, and you had the right time period. It was 1967. It didn't happen from 67 until 2012.
Ding,
that's
ding,
wild.
Ding. Yes.
Well, guess I'll buy you a beer. It's not Carmen Killebrew, though.
Yeah, but it's the guy I always think is Carmen Killebrew. Damn it.
Close enough, but yes. Miggy did it in 12, and man, I had thought someone had been in the 80s, 90s, so
no,
I was wrong.
No,
but
that's hallowed territory. I mean, that's up there with Ted Williams in the 400 batting average. You know, it's just a statistical oddity. Like you said, it's not something you should pay a whole lot of attention to. It's like hitting for the cycle. You know, it's just one of those weird things about baseball. But if someone can lead the league in all three of those categories, that's someone who's had a freaky phenomenal season.
Unfortunately for JD, he has to root against a teammate if he's going to do it this season, and that he has 10 points of batting average on Mookie Betts. I think Mookie is flirting with the minimum at-bats number more than Martinez is, though. I think he missed a little bit of time earlier in the season, and so that's probably why that's close. And he is one behind good old Chris Davis, the good one, Oakland.
Yeah, you weren't going to fool me with that one. I knew the Baltimore Chris Davis was not there.
Yeah, Baltimore Chris Davis is still hitting home runs, and that's all he's hitting, and he's not doing that very much either. So that sucks. But JD Martinez is comfortably ahead in RBI by 11, also over Chris Davis. Do you know who is third in the majors in runs batted in this season? No. It's weird. It's Javi Baez.
Wow.
Yep.
That's bizarre.
There you go. The good one on that list of RBI, though, is absolutely MLB's best completely unknown player. He plays for the Cincinnati Reds. Who's the Cincinnati Reds' best player in 2018, Mike? Got a 9.11 OPS, 141 OPS plus. He's a very good defender.
No idea. Drawing a blank.
It's Eugenio Suarez.
Oh, yeah, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
Right? Yeah, he's actually really good. He's been around for a couple years. He was not very good in those years, and he is now. So there you go, Eugenio Suarez. We mentioned a Red. There we go. We've fulfilled our baseball podcast obligations. I don't know what else you want out of me. So that's been good. Triple Crown. I don't think that Martinez will be able to crack it in the last 2 weeks unless, you know, Benny Betts has a down period or somehow misses a threshold. He's only at 490 at-bats on the season. We'll pull up JD. Martinez is at 537. It's what, 3 per game? What you have to do to qualify for the title?
I think so.
So, I guess Betts is a bit on the line there, but definitely pulling for JD Martinez to do it. Still pretty fun to see that stuff happen. He is 5th in WAR. Mike Trout missed a whole bunch of time, but decided he wanted to be good anyway. He's still 2nd. Mookie Betts, 10 wins. 10 wins on the season. That's stupid. Baseball's cool. People should watch more of it when it doesn't involve the Texas Rangers.
Hey, hey, hey. No, we should all watch the Texas Rangers.
Just don't watch the Texas Rangers on Friday because you're going to interfere with my ability to get into short lines for food and beer. So everyone can go Saturday and Sunday. Go catch your Rangers. Go see their last homestand. See Adrian Beltre. They got all kinds of like goodies going on this weekend too.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to have a problem getting concessions. Since you haven't been this year, let me just go ahead and tell you that like 2 out of every 3 concession stands are closed because there's so little attendance and activity. It's kind of depressing to be there. So. Okay.
Let me rephrase. Everybody go to the damn game. They open up the concession stands. But then leave early so that I can get food.
Yes.
I would like to eat one novelty item, one of the crazy Rangers things this weekend.
So, I can tell you my favorite. Would you like to know?
See, we're gonna have to talk about that. I would love to put it up to whoever's still listening to this podcast at this point to instruct me on what weird thing at the ballpark I should eat. I've got some ideas, but I'll definitely eat at least one of them. What's your favorite, though?
The most delicious thing they offer there, and I have one probably every other game I go to. I mean, it's a definite heart stopper, but it's the bacon wrapped hot dog. I mean to tell you, that is a thing of beauty.
I feel like my wife's gonna eat that. She is an enormous hot dog fan. So fancy hot dogs, very very much on the menu. I'm gonna take a look. I'm gonna pop through the little food guides here and see what the craziest weird stuff is.
Oh, there is some crazy. I want to see you eat a boomstick.
Oh, no.
One of the 2-foot-long hot dogs or something crazy like that. I just remembered.
The boomstick is... not the boomstick. The pickle dog is still a thing, right? The dilly dog?
You know, I haven't seen them. I haven't been looking for them, though. It just sounds gross to me, so I'm like... I'm not even going anywhere close to that. So yeah. I have no idea if they sell those or not.
I just remember that because my wife loves pickles and she loves hot dogs. And we're going to get a deli dog. This is going to happen. It's like 100. If they're in the stadium, that's what I'm going to end up eating.
I'm sure they are. But people were going crazy for them early in the season. Yeah. So, yeah.
So that's going to be our quest. We're going to go and document our... quest for the dilly dog, and I will find something obnoxious to consume. I'm sure they've got something that will suit me, and most of us drink a bunch of beer. So,
one thing I discovered recently, and this isn't of the food variety, this is of the drink variety.
I'm on board.
Kind of gimmicky, but the Jack Daniel's Club, which is going to be near where we're sitting, has a frozen Jack and Coke. And I mean to tell you, It doesn't suck.
Oh, buddy. I am glad we're going to an evening game, so I will have like less desire to go and consume very cold things very quickly that have lots of alcohol in them. But, ooh, I'm excited. I haven't been to the temple in a very long time, so I am looking forward to doing that. And I think we are both looking forward to documenting our adventures in bad food and good food and too much alcohol. So we will get that done. We hope to hear from our boy Hayden if he survives his Mad Max journey through the post-apocalyptic hellscape that is the American West Coast.
Just picture Walt White, you know, stranded out in the desert with the wind blowing. That's what Hayden's experiencing in California.
It's
right
just
now.
A button-down shirt and underwear and an RV. It's all going great for our dear departed friend Hayden, having fun out there on the coast. Hopefully he is able to join us from the great beyond and tell us what fun there is to have at Petco, a ballpark on my top five list of places to visit.
Doesn't and Dodger Stadium.
Oh yeah, he's doing both, isn't he?
Yeah, two parks I haven't seen, so I'm really excited to hear about these.
Chavez Ravine is also on my list. Those would be very, very fun to do.
Definitely.
So we will have that Rangers on the road and then just general road experience feedback for everybody in the near future. Until that time, though, y'all have fun. Keep watching some baseball. I know the minor league season is over, but the fall leagues will start up. And then, of course, you can watch the winter leagues. And that's
yes,
great.
We encourage everyone to go to the Dominican to see some winter baseball.
I wish I could. I might actually try and do it. It would be so fun.
I did a trip to the Dominican a few years ago with my daughter, and we went in June, and I was really depressed to find that there was zero baseball to be found at that point in time.
Ugh. They had them complex leagues. I bet you'd be just wild. Even just see just kids playing would probably be pretty fun, but love to do that. I really want to go to a game in Cuba. Cuba and Japan, got to cross those off the list.
Definitely Cuba. That
yeah, I heard they're really fun.
That island, it holds a special intrigue. There's, and I know we're trying to wrap things up, but just one last story. I don't know if you watch Anthony Bourdain's cooking show that was on CNN for quite some time. Mm-hmm. He actually did an episode from Cuba.
Destination Unknown or whatever?
Yeah. Did you see the one where he went to Cuba?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
One of the coolest things, to bring it all back around to baseball, is with it being a communist state, you know, you have a job and it's assigned to you and that's what you do and that's it. And there are some guys, this was their actual job, was to stand in the town square, just out in the open, and talk baseball. How cool is that?
I do it. Hell, I do it right now.
We do it for free. What are you talking about?
I think we like, technically we spend money to do this.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I would absolutely get paid to talk about baseball. Pay me, United States of America. I will be your baseball guy. Mike and I will just drink a bunch of beer and yell about sports.
Sounds good to me.
And it does indeed. So, until next time, go out there, drink beer, watch sports, yell about them on street corners until the police show up, and then give them beer and talk sports to them too. Do that.
Go Rangers.
Go Ragnars. Good night.